Happy New Year. Hope you guys had a good, safe night last night. If you decided to indulge in the potent potables, I hope you were responsible enough to not drink and drive. Think I remember seeing something last night where Uber was offering free rides to drunks for New Year's Eve? Could be misremembering that. I was a little drunk myself, but I was walking, so everything was all good. I rarely get drunk, but there's just something about the atmosphere inside the Smoothie King Center that influences me to pound beer. Had a great time at the game, though, last night. I have been to countless NBA games over the years. Last night was the first time that I got to see LeBron James play in person. I was worried that he and Anthony Davis might rest for the game last night. It was the second night of a back-to-back. LeBron James is 39 years old. They had a tough game in Minnesota the night before, but credit to LeBron James. He showed up to play. I might not agree with his politics, but LeBron James one hell of a basketball player. It was an amazing, amazing experience getting to see him play. I'm sure most of you guys were busy too last night. There was a full slate of games in both the NFL and the NBA. I'm sure there was a few meaningless bowl games in college football on TV. Maybe you fought the cold weather to witness a wanker spanker's dream, watching a gigantic ball suspended from skyscrapers to celebrate the new year. Perhaps you attended a Green Day concert where they actually politicized New Year's Eve. You know, because everything has to be political. Speaking of concerts, Juvenile and Manny Fresh, they performed at halftime last night of the Pels-Lakers game. Excellent, excellent performance. There was nothing political about it. Just two dudes encouraging the women in the crowd to back that ass up. It was a great show. But anyway, the point is, all of us, we were busy last night having fun. No matter how you chose to celebrate the new year, you probably selected something that you would enjoy. It's not exactly how they celebrated the new year at MSNBC. MSNBC, the network of diversity. We love inclusion. We love equity. We are celebrating the new year by reciting all our favorite woke boner words. Every weekend, MSNBC airs something called Velshi. Casey, who in the hell is Velshi? I have no idea. Perhaps he was the replacement for Tiffany Cross, better known here on the channel as Tiffer the Bongo Sniffer. Whoever Velshi is, he was missing in action this weekend on MSNBC. Maybe he was celebrating the new year by worshiping the oak tree, or maybe he was donating his free time feeding the people of San Francisco so they had enough fuel in the tank to fill the streets with freshly baked turds. But instead of Velshi hosting his own show, MSNBC, they gave their dwindling audience a dude named Charles Coleman. Now, Charlie, he's a good man. He graduated from the law school division of Woke U. Charlie describes himself as a civil rights attorney. He also believes that it's important to shape the future minds of America. So he teaches political science at something called Fordham, where I would imagine he's molding the minds of future peaceful protesters. Saturday, though, Charlie got on social media to promote his appearance on MSNBC. We are going to end 2023 by having some big convos. We are going to talk about the biggest problems facing America today. Yeah. What are these problems? What does Charlie believe is the biggest issue in America? Well, of course, it's the issue of mythical racism. According to MSNBC, systemic racism is having a devastating impact on the health and well-being of marginalized groups. Let me make sure I'm understanding this correctly. Systemic racism, which to my knowledge has never been proven, systemic racism is having a devastating impact on the health of Americans? How? How is that possible? Luckily, Charlie Coleman consulted with an expert to explain to us plebes how systemic racism is destroying our health. He invited Dr. Uche Blackstock on the show. I'm sure I am mispronouncing her name, so I'll just refer to her as Dr. Blackstock. You know, I do like to keep it respectable here on the channel. Not only is she an expert in the field of medicine, Dr. Blackstock, she's also an author. She wrote a book titled Legacy, A Black Physician Reckons with Racism in Medicine. racism in medicine? I didn't realize that pharmaceuticals could be discriminatory. Charlie C., though, he didn't waste any time getting directly to the point. First, he defined structural racism to the half dozen people who are watching this garbage on MSNBC. Now, I've always thought it was called systemic racism, but you know how deacons at Woke United Methodist are constantly changing the terminology. For example, we used to refer to welfare states as socialism. Now we just call it wokeism. But according to Charlie, structural racism is defined as societies discriminating through interconnected systems, such as housing, education, and unemployment. I noticed he didn't say healthcare, but that's okay. That's okay. That's why the esteemed Dr. Blackstock was invited on the show. Charles Coleman asked Dr. Blackstock how inadequate housing and schools, along with medical facilities, can be indicators of structural racism. He also asked how these indicators, could negatively impact the health of parishioners at Woke United Methodist. Now, as you're about to see, Dr. Blackstock is not only a medical doctor, not only an author, she's also an accomplished chef. In order to answer the question, Dr. Blackstock went to the kitchen and put together one of the best word salads that you will ever consume. Watch for yourself.
I think so often we think about health as individual choices that patients make. And instead, we really need to understand how practices and policies, you know, the legacy of slavery, the legacy of Jim Crow, current day systemic racism impacts the health of our communities. So when we have people who have housing insecurity, who live in food deserts, who live in communities where there's not enough green space for them to walk around or to work out, where they're not able to find gainful employment, where they're not able to have quality education, we know that racism is a key driver of what we call the social determinants of health. And what we see in terms of health inequities and health disparities are the downstream outcomes of those. Individuals are only responsible for about 20% of what makes them healthy. The other 80% are these systemic factors that Dr. Bulwer and her colleagues studied.
Does anyone know what the hell she just said? Am I the only one struggling to comprehend the point here? Hell, was there even a point? From what I gather, Dr. Blackstock is blaming problems in healthcare on some myth called structural racism. Look, I am not a doctor. If you're seeking medical advice, the dumbass you're currently watching is the last person you want to consult with. Dr. Blackstone is a hell of a lot smarter than me when it comes to the field of medicine. But I'm struggling to draw the parallel here. First of all, the esteemed doctor claims that individuals are only responsible for 20% of what makes them healthy. Who is responsible for the other 80%? Structural racism, also known as the government. I thought this was interesting. What is Dr. Blackstock's solution to the plague of structural racism? What is her solution to a government that is supposedly racist? According to Dr. Blackstock, the solution is more government. Wait a minute. You're telling me that the government is structurally racist and your solution to the problem is expanding the racist government? Let me ask you something. Outside of the military, what does the federal government do well? Now, you got to remember, this is the same federal government whose CEO is a man by the name of Johnny B. Biden. What do they do well? What departments are operating at 100% efficiency? Have you ever tried to send a package through the post office? You'd be better off giving that package to John Biden and having him deliver it on his Schwinn. Sure, it might arrive damaged. Johnny B. has a difficult time keeping the Schwinn upright, but that's cool. They can give him training wheels. John Biden riding his bike can deliver packages quicker than the post office. What about public schools? How are public schools performing? The public school system is controlled by the federal government. I believe they call it the Department of the Uneducated. How are they performing? Several months ago, I think I remember seeing something on Fox News. Don't quote me on this, but I think this was true. I remember seeing something on Fox News where they were graduating high school students in Baltimore who couldn't read. How are these kids supposed to benefit from increases in welfare when they can't read the menu at McDonald's? It's kind of hard to spend that money when you can't read the menu. This solution from Dr. Blackstock, it's not all that surprising. If you're a graduate of Woke U, the answer to all problems is always more government. I happen to believe the opposite. I happen to believe that the start, the cause of most problems, not all, but the cause of most problems is too much government. Dr. Blackstock, she also mentioned something called food deserts or food desserts. I guess these are located in underprivileged communities where they only offer dessert for meals. She also claimed that structural racism is responsible for placing marginalized groups in communities where they don't have enough green space to walk around. As a result, their health declines because they have nowhere to exercise. You know, I don't know of a major city or any city in America where it is illegal to walk around. The truth is, Dr. Blackstock is pushing a victim mentality. It's not Frank's fault that he's a fat fuck. He's a victim of structural fatism. It's not Al's fault that he's an alcoholic. He's simply a victim of structural alcoholism. It's not Walter Welfare's fault that he doesn't get enough exercise. He is simply a victim of living in a government food desert where the only nutrition he receives is freshly baked donuts from the donut diva himself, Brian Stelter. You are never going to solve these problems without teaching personal responsibility. The government can only do so much. And like I said, anytime the government gets involved, it seems to only make things worse. And by the way, I thought MSNBC was the network dedicated to diversity, equity, and inclusion. That clip I just shared with you guys, I have watched it several times this afternoon. I wanted to be sure that all the booze from last night wasn't still blurring my vision. I didn't notice any diversity on that panel. Did you? I wasn't seeing the equity. I wasn't seeing the inclusion. I have been disappointed with Fox News at times this year, but at least they try to give us both sides. At least they try to offer counterpoints. MSNBC, they didn't have a single person on that panel that refuted this narrative from Dr. Blackstock. It was all one-sided. And they wonder why CNN is beating them in the ratings. And the 25 to 54 demo, CNN is beating MSNBC in the ratings. I wonder why. But give me your thoughts on this. According to MSNBC, structural racism is the reason for declining healthcare amongst marginalized groups. What is the solution? More government. Is anyone biting into that shit sandwich? Does MSNBC have any credibility left? 2024 has just begun, first day of the year right now. And with each passing year, it seems like the mainstream media loses credibility and loses influence. Do you think networks like CNN, MSNBC, maybe even Fox News, do you think they still have the power to influence the masses? Let me know. Sound off in the comments below. Like, subscribe, share the video. I appreciate your support. Best way to contact me is by email at btlkc84@gmail.com, kc_btl84 on Twitter. I'll see you guys tomorrow.